You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news as we discuss deals off this morning. Is the Ederson deal off? We've got an update from Romano. The Tchouaméni deal is off. I'm surprised by Brickster in the chat saying, why is the Tchouaméni deal off? He must have gone to bed at 8 p.m. last night and missed all the news. We'll give you that as well. Also, the Rashford to Barcelona deal looks completely dead now. Adeyemi heading to Barcelona. So they've turned their back on Rashford completely. You've got a feel for him. And are we ending up with this situation now where Rashford's having to come back and Man United are having to take him back because nobody else wants him? It's not really the sale that we were talking about last summer when we were getting rid of the bomb squad, is it? You know, Wilcox is flexing, going, look at me, I'm a great director of football. A year later, Rashford's coming back, mate, and you're going to have to do some PR to bring him back because no one else wants him. Interesting, I think, as well. Also, we've got some stuff about the stadium. Where do Man United go next with the midfield? A little bit about Santos as well. Lots to get into on the show this morning. I hope you're doing very, very well. We'll start off with the Ederson update from Romano because people are asking, is it off? Lifelong Gaming says Santos is great value. Mate, it's a news show, and if you want to come and debate me about Santos, we'll do it at 8 o'clock tonight. I'm not going to start going over Santos again. We've done two videos on it. If that excites you, well done. I think it's an underwhelming signing, and I think Rory Jennings saying it's a good signing, as much as I love Rory, actually, it makes me think it's even worse, because Rory's the sort of person who says Ronaldo won't score in a World Cup and Haaland will be a flop at Man City. So, you know, all these United fans now championing Rory Jennings because he's saying that it's a good signing for United. You might want to check some of his takes on players. I'd definitely go the opposite. Anyway, delving into what the news is this morning. Oh, first of all, just a bit of PR coming out from United. A bit of spin for you. You know, you Glazer rimmers out there who like to attach your lips to their arse every morning and swallow their shit. Horrible thought, but people do. I'd rather have me coffee. Stuff coming out about the stadium today, which basically accounts to absolutely nothing. We've got more ChatGPT pictures. This time they've gone with a little bit of lighter pastel colours and cartoon sort of approach. They're telling us where the stadium will be. They don't know what's going to happen with Old Trafford, but it's going to generate loads of jobs and loads of houses. And, you know, it's going to be great for that area. Nothing about what it will do for his winning Premier League titles. Basically, it's a brilliant bit of rejuvenation of a certain area of Manchester that will generate jobs and income for the government. And isn't that a great thing? But the last time I checked, I wanted to learn about football, not the fucking politics page of the BBC website. So there is, I mean, look, there's a lot of people excited about this. I want to move on to the transfer stuff. All I'm going to say about this stadium is, and it amazes me why anybody wants a new one. I don't want a new stadium. I don't want to wait 5 to 10 years to build a new stadium. That will not make any difference to how we play football or how we win games of football over the next 10 years. I would rather we spent the money on the first team than on the stadium. And to anybody who says, well, the stadium's falling down, we need to build a new stadium, my instant answer is that stadium 20 years ago was one of the best in Europe. It now needs a load of money spending on it because the same owners let it rot. So basically what you're telling me is we need to spend £2 billion on a new stadium because the current owners let the old stadium rot. So basically what you're telling me is they've cost us another £2 billion on top of the billions of debt. And we're still happy with them to be in charge, making decisions about our football club. The cost of this stadium will probably have an impact on the next generation of Man United fans. It's going to cripple us. And all because the Glazers let it rot for 20 years and now want to build a new one to increase the value of a club that they've never put a pound into. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant news. Great news this morning. I'm so excited about this amazing news. I can't believe people just can't realise the situation that we've basically got a parent who had a Ferrari on the drive that everyone was envious of, let it rot and rust, and now says, I'm getting rid of that one. I've got to buy a new one. And guess what? You won't get any clothes or new shoes or nice food for a long time because I've got to buy myself a new Ferrari now. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Anyway, lots to get into on the show this morning. It's very hot this morning. I feel hot. It is hot in the UK. 25 degrees already in here. Let's get into the story here around what's going on with the transfer news, because the stadium news is just depressing, I think. So, Ederson. Is the Ederson deal off? Ederson, this is what Romano has said. Second part of the medical for Ederson will take part in the next few days and we'll find out if Man United are going to proceed or not. Now, I don't know if this is the normal language we've used with other transfers, because we had Ben Jacobs yesterday saying a thorough medical with Ederson. And now we've had Romano saying medical this week and we'll find out if Man United are going to proceed or not. Now, I don't know, and maybe some of you do, I've never heard that wording before. I've normally heard, here we go, deal done, medical to follow. Or players in Manchester to complete his medical. But we don't normally hear words like thorough medical and also from Romano, medical this week and we'll find out if Man United are going to proceed or not. I don't know is the honest answer about... oh, God. Sorry, how do I just... Oh, God, my chat's just completely died here. Get off. It's probably the heat. So look, I think Sam C messaged me last night and said that the medical's proceeding as normal. In fact, I'll read you out the WhatsApp I got from Sam last night. He said, understand Ederson has been undergoing the second part of his medical in Manchester in recent days amid rumours the deal is off. So it does sound like a very thorough medical if he's been, you know, if he's completing it this week. Look, to be honest, I think in this sort of case, you've got to be very careful of spreading, you know, nonsense and speculating. I know a lot of you, look, I don't want this deal to fall through. I don't normally do this on a poll. Do you want the Ederson deal to fall through? Yes or no? Look at the response to this. Be very, very telling. I don't want it to fall through. I think, you know, if we think he's the right player and the data says he's the right player, let's see what happens, right? But as Calvin said, were previous medicals not thorough then? It does sound like a very thorough medical. And it does sound like Romano's hedging his bets by going medical this week, second part of the medal, let's see which way it goes. I've never heard that before. I'm completely speculating. I know what's happened with Tchouaméni, and I'll tell you that in a minute. I don't know what's happening here. It just sounds a little bit like there might be something. Now, I don't know what Ederson's injury history is. Ederson injury history. Let's just have a quick look. He has not really got... He had a meniscus injury in August a year ago, an ankle problem in 2024, and a hamstring muscle injury in 2022. So there's nothing really there. Meniscus, I think, is the knee, isn't it? Meniscus. I'm pretty sure that's an injury in the knee. Yeah, a meniscus. So look, he was out for a month at the start of last season with a knee injury, but he still played loads of games. I don't know. Honestly, I genuinely think he's going to be fine and he's going to sign for United. But it does feel like there is something that United might not be happy about. But it doesn't look like he's got anything bad in his injury history. So, but look, what I will say is, if I think something's bullshit, I'll say it's bullshit. And if I think something's true, I'll say it's true. I wouldn't sit here in front of you now and say that deal's definitely going to happen. And I wouldn't sit in front of you here now and say it's going to go off. I'd say I'm 80% sure we'll sign him, and 20% there might be something there. And that's speculation. I have got no information either way. Look, we've got Ben Jacobs on at about 2:15 today. We can ask him about it. But I've never heard this about a medical before. And I'm sure everything will be fine, but I've never heard this before. Thorough medical, let's see which way it goes. It's not normally the language used. So what I would say is, imagine we sign him and then he gets a bad knee injury. United have got enough on their plate and enough speculation about being incompetent without this going wrong as well. So maybe they have got to make sure, you know. It's about 50-50 on the Ederson deal falling through. Do you want the Ederson deal to fall through? 54% say yes and 46% say no. There we go. Are Ed and Sam back better than are Ederson and Santos better than Ugarte? I think we have to believe that, Kiel. We have to believe that. Time will tell, but we have to believe that. Scott says, no transfers because they're spending billions on a modernised circus. It can't get any worse. It can. Mick McCarthy, 2023. We are not in a good place either way. Ederson signs. We have an underwhelming midfield rebuild. The deal falls through and suddenly we have to sign two midfielders with the decent options dwindling. Emily, I'm with you on that. That's why I don't want it to fall through. I don't think we've got a decent backup if it does. Maybe that's why Atletico pulled out of the deal last season. There was an issue with the medical, says John. Atletico Madrid are going for Jungland as well. I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but I will. Atletico Madrid were going for Ederson. Pulled out. No, they're now going for Jungland. We get Ederson. I'd rather get Jungland. Rest in peace, Bonnie Tyler. You're joking. Total eclipse of the heart. I need a hero. Oh, is that true? Is Bonnie Tyler really dead? What a voice. If you know, you know. Died 74, passes away in Portugal after going into cardiac arrest following surgery, which left her in an induced coma. Rest in peace. What a singer. What a singer. It's getting worse today. Ederson delayed till January to get him cheap. Yeah, I'd rather go for Jungland than Ederson. And that's what Atletico Madrid are doing. Good morning, Mark. And that's not anti-Ederson. I just like Jungland. I like Jungland, and I thought we were going to sign him under Amorim, but I would definitely go for him over Ederson. But, you know, I'd go for Fernandez and Tonali over Santos. Good morning, Mark. Would you cash in on Delo this summer and sign Gusto from Chelsea for 50? Well, I would, but that's completely hypothetical. As I'm watching, Mark, I'm getting notifications on new kit drops and United merchandise. Ederson's injury history says meniscus injury for 30 days. It's the same injury that kept Malacia for 105, well, out for 1.5 years. Looks suspicious. Look, let's keep an open mind about Ederson. It feels like, and as I said, I put the tweet out a week ago, it feels like there's some sort of injury issue there. Now, if United, I've got to be honest, if United have got a concern, don't do it. Look at Eric Bailly. Look at Malacia. Look at Mason Mount. I mean, I got a tweet notification this morning saying that Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw and Mason Mount are back in training for pre-season. And I thought, I'm already down. Don't kick me. I thought, you know what? I feel completely fed up with United this summer. And that flashes up as breaking news. Luke Shaw, Mason Mount and Harry Maguire are back in training for United. I think Harry Maguire should have left. I don't think we should have given him a new contract. I like him, but I don't see the point of another year. Luke Shaw, I think he's average. And Mason Mount, I think he's a waste of time. And I thought, you know what? Just when I think things can't get any worse, I get that as an update. Why do you mock me? Look, they're not bad players, but they're not good enough, you know? It's not... I said this to you before. This summer transfer window has got to be the most underwhelming ever. Like, normally we have a bad window, but there are signings that make you feel optimistic. You know, like in the summer, you think, oh, we bought them, we're going to win the league. And you know deep down you're not, but you're just enjoying it. It's like when you look at your presents on Christmas Day morning and you know they're not going to be that great, but you imagine that shape could be something really good. I don't even get that. I don't even get that at the moment with United. Anyway, I need to talk to you about Tchouaméni and Santos. So, look, conspiracy theory time. Let me have a sip of this. I personally think
Man United are a football club that spins its fan base for money. And what I mean by that is, I think United are aware of your feelings and drop stuff out there to try and keep you buying tickets and buying shirts, right? Because that's what keeps them in business. So if they see that you're unhappy about Matheus Fernandes, they don't mind journalists talking about United signing Tchouaméni, even though they know they're not, for a week. You know, Romero, 9 hours, we're not signing him. Story comes out about Romero, 9 hours later, everyone's saying we're not signing him. But Tchouaméni, after Matheus Fernandes, a whole week of it, they know they're not signing him. They're happy for it to be out there because it makes you not as angry as you would be if you knew you weren't. What happened yesterday, in my mind, was pure spin. How do we do a deal with Chelsea for Santos so quick and overpay so quick? It was weird. And then at about 9 o'clock last night, all became clear. Because at 9 o'clock last night, we got the drop from Romano and from the BBC website. I can't remember the name of the journalist. Someone in the chat will know. Tchouaméni signing a new contract at Real Madrid. Now, some of you must have missed it because I've seen a few people in the chat saying, what do you mean Tchouaméni deals off? And remember, I'm calling it the Tchouaméni dip, the Tchouaméni myth. Because all last night when we were talking about Santos, there was a lot of people not happy about Santos. There was a lot of people happy about Santos. And there was a few people who are happy with Santos if we buy Tchouaméni. And I was saying, well, that's a myth. We're not buying him. I know we're not buying him. So all you people last night who don't mind the Santos deal if we're going to get Tchouaméni, how are you feeling this morning? Because we're not getting him. All you people last night who were going, I don't mind the Santos deal if we get a marquee signing. Who's the marquee signing? There is no marquee signing left. You know, United put it out there that there's a marquee signing coming. There is no marquee signing. Who is the marquee signing? I don't know who it is. So, look, the update is this. On the day that United rush through a signing of Santos, it comes out that Tchouaméni is about to sign a new deal. Now, let me put it like this. That was clearly going to come out last night that Tchouaméni was about to sign a new deal. If you announce Santos this morning, people would go, fucking great. So I think United rushed that out knowing that Tchouaméni news was about to drop. Because if you get ahead of it, you can get a bit of positivity before the negativity. If that Tchouaméni deal had dropped before we'd signed Santos, I don't think it would have made a bigger impact. So I actually think we got that out. I think we rushed that through to get some positivity out there before the double kick in the nuts. Because that's there. Fabrizio Romano's put it out. Tchouaméni, new deal, Real Madrid. Now, look, the person who has basically given us this information watches the show, and I obviously can't give their name, but, you know, big credit to you. You've been absolutely spot on with Tchouaméni since March. I know they're a big fan of the channel, and thank you very much for that information. And this is why I said to you a week ago that the Tchouaméni deal was off and highly unlikely. Before anybody else, last Thursday night, Tchouaméni deal off, not going to happen. And people were like, wow. I was like, no, it's not going to happen unless United go and pay £100 million and give him £300,000 a week, which we're not going to do. So the deal's off. And then what I started to feed in gradually on the shows was, it's probably more than likely he's going to sign a new contract at Madrid. What? You don't know nothing, don't know nothing. And then at the start of the week, when we had all these Spanish sources saying United are flying over there to give a big deal, I was going, it's a load of bollocks. You know nothing. These are tier twos in Spain. You know nothing. And then when I said, well, I think what's happening here in the five strands of a transfer are, it's totally true, it's totally bollocks, it's Real Madrid trying to use this to butt force the price up, or it's the player trying to get a new contract. Well, that's what it was. Man United are flying over to put a bid in for Tchouaméni. We weren't flying over at all. That was out there as a bargaining tool to get a better deal at Real Madrid. And that's what happened. So, look, I don't want to be ITK. I don't want to be that. But if we get information,
and we trust that information, as always, we will feed it in, like we did about Delapi a year ago, like we did about Onana, and like we've done about Tchouaméni. We were not doing that deal. We were never doing that deal. We were probably used as part of a get a new contract, but we were never doing that deal. My frustration is that Manchester United allowed themselves to be publicly part of that when they could have killed it dead. You know, Romero, we're signing Romero. 9 hours later, all the United client journalists, it's not happening. How many weeks have we, of the club, been happy for us to be linked to Tchouaméni, knowing that we weren't signing him? And that's what pisses me off, is they'll kill a deal when it suits them, but they'll let a deal they know they're not going to do be out there in the fan base, you know, poisoning your minds, basically, for their own benefit. So where we are now is that we've signed Ederson and Santos.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And out of all the marquee signings we could have signed, Tchouaméni is signing a new deal at Real Madrid. Bruno Guimarães is going to Arsenal. Anderson has signed for City. And Tonali has signed for Spurs. So of the four viable replacements for Casemiro, I can't believe I'm saying this to you, they're all gone. If you'd said this to me in May, I'd have said, if the World Cup wasn't on, I'd be going into hiding for 3 months. I'll see you next season. I mean, that top shelf there, that's where they all were. I don't know how people can be happy with this. I don't know, but each to your own. But I can't believe that Casemiro has left. And I said this to you. Sometimes in a summer transfer window, you need a striker and the market doesn't have one. You know, all the good strikers are in long-term contracts and won't leave. We needed a marquee Casemiro replacement, and there were four viable options, and they've all signed in different ways to somebody else. I can't believe it. But don't worry, we've got some cartoon pictures of a stadium. Don't worry, Ederson might get through his medical. And don't worry, we've just spent £50 million on a player that's a bench player for Chelsea who might be the next big thing. You tell me. So I personally think they rushed that Santos deal through yesterday to try and get ahead of the Tchouaméni story. Because if that Tchouaméni story had dropped last night and we hadn't signed anybody, it would be absolute, you know, chaos in the fan base. And I think it's sweetened everybody a little bit. But look, I find Santos underwhelming. I find Ederson underwhelming. And if you'd said to me in May that Tonali would be at Spurs, Bruno G would be at Arsenal, Tchouaméni would be signing a new contract, Anderson would be going to Man City, and we'd have bought Santos and Ederson, I think I would have broken out in tears. You know, I would have needed some tissues. Now, some of you might be using those tissues for a different reason. I'd be bailing my eyes out. I think it's, for me, it's a 1 out of 10 transfer window at the moment. I think you've sometimes just got to take emotion out of it, take a helicopter view and say, there were four really good options to replace Casemiro. They've all signed for somebody else. And we've got Ederson and Santos. And I'm sorry, I want to find the positives, but that's an Everton, that's an Everton transfer window, that is. I literally think that the players we bought are in Everton's transfer budget. I think Everton could have bought Santos. I think Everton could have bought Ederson. I think it's a really low bar midfield. And I hope Ederson and Santos work, but it's a low bar midfield. It's a low bar transfer window, sorry. So I think for me as well, because it gets worse, there's a story out of Barcelona to tell you about. I think we're on course at the moment for the shittest transfer window we've ever had
since Mourinho's one where he got sacked. You know, when we finished second place and we thought, we're going to have a window now and try and get first, and they gave him fuck all and he got sacked by Christmas. I don't know what year that was. Was it 2016? I think this is the I think we're on course for the worst window in a decade. And the reason for that is everywhere you look, it's massively underwhelming and it's massively scary. And I'm sort of 2 years into the Ineos journey, and I'm sort of like, I don't know what, was this the plan all along? You know, to just make things worse under the guise of making it better. You know, there's still a bit of the window left, but at the moment, I think this is really bad, a really, really bad window. Yeah. But look, let's try and find a positive, right? When Santos signed last night, there was talk of a marquee signing still coming in. So we're going to play a little bit of game, right? You know that book that kids buy, Where's Wally? And there's loads of people, and it might be a scene in Rome or a scene in Delhi or a scene in Toronto. And, you know, you've got all the landmarks, a load of people, and you've got to find where Wally is. We're going to play Panic Stations, Where is the Marquee Signing? So basically, you open the book, and it's old, you know, it's outside Old Trafford while we've still got it. And there's loads and loads of footballers, right? And they're all bang average. And you've got to try and find a marquee signing in there. I don't know who the marquee signing is going to be now. Because definition of marquee to me is somebody that makes the rest of the world go, ooh. And I'll tell you what. I purposely did this last night. I messaged a mate of mine who's a Liverpool fan, and I said, what do you think of United's transfer window? That was it. And they said, average. And I went, well, I think it's shit. And they said, well, you know, you never know that they could end up being okay. And I thought, that's actually worse than them laughing back. Because, you know, I look at Spurs transfer window and I go, fair play. They still might finish mid-table, but fair play. I don't think the rest of the Premier League are looking at Man United and going, oh my God, they finished third last year and look at what they've done. I think the rest of the Premier League are looking at United and going, they finished third last year, look at what they've done, they're vulnerable. If I'm Chelsea, or I'm Spurs, or I'm Newcastle, or I'm Liverpool, or any other club that finished below us, I'm looking at United, I'm going, they finished third, playing one game a week. They've now got to play two games a week, and look at what they've bought. They're vulnerable. I think we've made ourselves vulnerable without kicking a ball. I think Carrick's got a massive job on his hands. I really do. So who is the marquee signing? Yeah, Man United say there is going to be a marquee signing in the midfield. Who can it be? Who could it be? Find me the marquee signing, because I've done a bit of homework on this. So we bought Santos, Ederson, and apparently we're still going to sign a marquee signing. Personally, I don't think there is a marquee signing out there anymore, because a marquee signing to me would have been Tonali, Tchouaméni, Anderson. Maybe a Bruno Guimaraes. I don't even know if Bruno Guimaraes is classed as a marquee signing. But I don't think there is anybody that fits that out there. Now, obviously, if you go and buy Bellingham or Valverde or Pedri or Musiala or, you know, these would be marquee. Or Vitinha or Neves or Declan Rice or Rodri. These players are marquee signings, right? I don't personally think Alex Scott is a marquee signing. I like the player, but he's not a marquee signing. Wharton, not a marquee signing. Camavinga, not a marquee signing. So, are they lying again? Are we being lied to? Because I don't actually think there is a marquee signing we can sign. I think they can pretend it's a marquee signing, but I don't actually think there is. Belaba's not a marquee signing. People are saying Bouadi. Bouadi, for me, is a good signing. I don't think you can call him a marquee signing. And also, the latest on him is that Arsenal, Liverpool, PSG really like him as well. So, I don't actually think there is anybody that's a marquee signing. I think we're being lied to. I think we will make a third midfield signing, and it could be Alex Scott. But remember, if you sign Alex Scott or Adam Wharton or Baleba, and you add them to Mainoo, Santos and Edison, you end up with three players, 22 or under, and a 27-year-old who's never played in the Premier League. That's very inexperienced for what we're about to step into. So I don't see a marquee signing anymore. I really don't. There will be a third signing, but I think the word marquee needs binning off, because would it even be beneficial to Adam Scott or Wharton to be the marquee signing when they're potential, you know? So I don't see a marquee signing by the definition I set anymore being available for Manchester United. I really don't. By the way, no signs of a backup striker and goalkeeper and a left back or a centre back. They'll spend the entire summer running around midfielders, forgetting that we don't have depth for the Champions League, says Hitton. To be fair, Hitton, you make a really good point. He's basically saying, I thought we needed a left back, a winger and a backup striker. I'll talk to you about Rashford next, because I think that solves the winger issue. But you know, to be fair, Hitton, and I'm not saying that you're wrong, but unfortunately, in reality, I can't really criticise that, because we all know that tactic from United. They might walk into a summer saying they're going to be busy. They might walk into a summer saying they're going to get three midfielders, a left back, a left winger and a striker. But we already know they'll take too long on 50% of that and run out of time for the rest. So, you know, whether we're getting a left back, a winger and a striker, we've had this for years. They only ever do 50% of what needs to be done. How are we not going for Stiller? I can't get my head around it, says Jason. I don't know. I mean, look, I've heard nothing about Stiller to Manchester United for months. There was around Christmas talk about it. I think Favell would obviously be a big advocate of it, but it's been very quiet about him for a very long time. Robert McCormack says, we're 6-1 for the league, Mark. How much are you having on? If you want to bet on Man United winning the league, and I think Robert would agree with me on this, don't bet on us at 6-1. Those odds will definitely be dropping over the next few weeks when everyone else starts to buy. Remember, Arsenal haven't bought anyone yet. Liverpool haven't bought anyone really yet. City will still buy more players. Our window's shit, and other teams haven't even started buying yet. So those odds will definitely drift out. I reckon you could get 10-1 for United to win the league if you wait a little bit. Why would we need a marquee signing? We're spending $2 billion on a state-of-the-art circus tent where the world's best players will play for other teams, says Emily. One man's version of marquee is another man's tier two. We might be operating on dreams of high standards, but the board might not. I think this is a great point from Nick P. It's not that United are lying about signing a marquee signing next. It's just that their level of what a marquee is not ours. I mean, Jason Wilcox thought Liam Delap was the dream striker for Man United. So imagine what he thinks a marquee signing is. 6-1 for the league. Just catching up on some of your comments, then we'll talk about this amazing story coming out of Barcelona. Please do smash a like on the video and subscribe, by the way. Also, just on that, I was thinking, it's getting increasingly hot to do this show on the morning show. I mean, we're nearly at 26 degrees in this room. If we hit 3,000 likes on this video, because we've got nearly 12,000 people watching, and we've already got nearly 1,000 likes. If we hit 3,000 likes on this video, how's about a morning show tomorrow morning out in the garden? Because I know you like that. A little bit of a sunny morning show tomorrow to lift your moods. Even if the news is shit, which it probably will be, you can still see some bright. You can get your vitamin D or A, whatever it is. So 3,000 likes, we'll do it out in the garden live tomorrow morning. Turner's HQ says, with the new stadium being built. See, I want to be positive. People say, oh, it's another negative day with Goldbridge. I don't tell you the news. Well, I do, but I don't make the news up. So I'm not going topless. That will lift the mood too much. Some of you got to work. But, you know, I am trying. You know, we'll get out in the sun tomorrow. Maybe I'll go down the slide again, and maybe I'll do a few keep-ups. Yeah. We're not doing a wet T-shirt competition. They should be, but not with me in it. With the new and I wouldn't get anyone else in it, by the way, either. Just to be very clear on that. I'm not going to recruit a few people to turn up in the background like that. You filth. Not oiling up either. This shows, I see, I wish I'd never said it now. Turner's says, with the new stadium being built, they're going to question every signing, Elliot Anderson or new toilets. Very, very true. By the way, no signs. I've done that from Hitton. Could this be the weakest Man United midfield of all time, says Connor. I don't know. We've had some pretty shit midfields, I must admit. I don't know how Sir Alex Ferguson used to win league titles at some points. I mean, I remember the midfields of Anderson and Cleverley. Yeah, we've had some pretty shit midfields, to be fair. And look, Cobby is a good midfielder. Santos might end up being quite good. Edison could be a, you know, decent. So it's not that these players are bad. They're underwhelming. And I think, you know, some people cannot deal with amber opinions. It's red or green and nothing in between. So, you know, you're an enemy of the club if you don't knock one out to every signing they make. Or you're an enemy of the club if you're happy about any signing they make. When actually, these signings might end up being okay, but they're massively underwhelming and they are Everton signings. There's no ambition in these signings. There was no queue for Santos. There was no queue for Edison. There was a queue for Tonali and we didn't want to get in it. There was a queue for Anderson. We didn't want to get in it. We're buying players that no one else really wants, you know? I think that's the problem. Why were we not as thorough with Mount's medicals as having a laugh? If Carrick gave approval to these players and can develop these midfielders, then maybe a good bit of business and not paying inflated prices, says Dawan. Look, I do get little bits here and there. Apparently, Manu Kone is a player that United still really like. But when he was mentioned at the start of the summer, Carrick wasn't convinced. That might change. So I've always said, keep an eye on Manu Kone. I'm just feeding you stuff that I've had in the last few days. Alex Scott, United really do like. Manu Kone is a player they might go back in for. I think at the start of the summer, it's fair to say they were looking at Fernandez, Anderson, Tchouaméni, Tonali. Now they're having to look elsewhere. So where United are today is not where they were in May. And where United are today is not even where they were 2 days ago. And certainly not where they were 2 weeks ago. The summer we had planned isn't the summer we're working on now. So names will come back. You know, maybe Stiller will come back at some point. You know, yeah. Wilcox is putting his boots on. He is the marquee signing, says Dan. Morning, Mark. Is there any chance we will sign a surprise midfielder nobody's talking about? Well, I think, Dylan, that's what I'm trying to say. If you think about it, at the start of June, I think United would have still been considering Anderson and Tonali, even though they were expensive, hoping the price might come down. They were well in on Fernandez and they were still looking at Tchouaméni. In the middle of June, well, on the 9th of July, Tonali's gone, Anderson's gone, Tchouaméni signed a new deal and Fernandez signed for Spurs. So where we were at the start of June is very different to where we are now. And four targets have gone and you've got to replace them four targets. So obviously we've gone for Santos. There's only one more midfielder to sign, but who that's going to be, Alex Scott may not be as easy as people think. There is competition for him. I think the position we're in now, I would say get Scott and get out of Dodge. And what I mean by that is, if I was in the boardroom, I'd say just do what it takes to get Scott and we'll leave this window for him and we'll assess it. Because we can't rescue this window now, it's shit. But what we can do is grab Alex Scott and get out and then look at what we've got. We can't rescue this window. We fucked up. So we may as well grab the best player that's available left and go. You know? It's like cooking a lasagna. You go down to your local shop, right? You fucked up. You didn't get the cheese. You didn't get the meat. Grab the pasta sheets and we'll see what we can do. Because at least we've got something, you know? Why brief us on a second Edison medical, says Emil. I don't know. Look, I would not be surprised if we're going live later to say the Edison deal has fallen through. I'm still 80% sure he'll sign, but I have to acknowledge that there seems to be something. Quantity over quality when we need both, says Mr. Hickey. I can't believe fans think the owners care, says Akil. They knew Madrid was going off to the new deal, so did a panic buy to stop the Glazers movement out, says Akil. Daniel Thompson says, hope everyone's well. Although I've reluctantly accepted it, I never wanted Old Trafford to go, and I honestly can't get excited with the new one. They're obsessed with the stadium, the team that will play in it, and they're letting us rust and rot. I think, Daniel, just on the stadium very, very quickly, because there is some stadium stuff coming out about this super-duper stadium that Man United are going to build that's going to generate a load of jobs and a load of, you know, houses and new infrastructure in Manchester. But I don't know how. Look at it like this. If Liverpool hadn't won the league for 13 years and were having a very uninspiring summer transfer window, but Liverpool said, look at the new Anfield we're building in 10 years' time, do you think Liverpool fans would sit there and go, get in, get in? We haven't won a league for 13 years. We're having a shit summer transfer window, but there's a new stadium that we're going to build in 10 years. I think we'd laugh at them. I think we'd absolutely laugh at them. But there are people in our fan base that are really excited about this. And you know what? I'm not. I'm not excited about it because I don't see how that benefits the fundamental thing of a football fan, which is to win on the pitch. The new stadium, and anybody who's cheering about new stadium, you're basically cheering for Sir Jim Radcliffe and Joel Glazer to double the value of their investment in Manchester United. Because the minute it's built, the money they make goes up. Man United goes from a football club worth 6 billion to 10 billion the minute that stadium opens. So basically, we're applauding them making money. Do you reckon Sander Berg could be next? I mean, if Sander Berg is a marquee signing, mate, then I'm a supermodel, you know?
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yeah, I'm not a supermodel. To me, Edison off was obvious once Santos talk started. I'm excited with Santos ahead of Edison. Scott and Stiller next. Craig, if that happens, I think we'd all agree with you. If Santos is the third midfielder and we're going to sign Scott and Stiller, we can rescue this window. Absolutely. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If I've missed something or something changes in a positive way, I wouldn't sit here and be negative. If the Edison deal falls through and Santos is the replacement for Edison, and then we went and bought Stiller and Scott, I'd say, I think we can work with that. But if it's Edison, Santos and some other underwhelming signing, I think we're in big trouble. Honestly disgusted and fed up by the ownership, says having a laugh. Who's not having a laugh? Why does Sir Ben Kia Jacobs answer questions without answering questions? I always knew he was the man behind the Indicalia account, says Jade. I think that's harsh. Ben will be on at 2:15. In isolation, Santos and Edison could be argued as good deals, but the fact that we're debating if they're floor raisers and we know they aren't raising our ceiling is what makes it underwhelming, says Patrick Lynch. Look, as I said, Patrick, think of it like this. I think Spurs have done really good business. And I'm sure Spurs fans would look at us United fans saying that and go, yes. I think Anderson to Man City is a very good bit of deal business. And I'm sure Man City fans would look at us and go, oh, yes, good bit of business. I don't think there's a Man City fan or a Spurs fan or a Liverpool fan going, you know what? I'm really worried about Edison and Santos. I am. I really do think that they are going to dominate the Premier League next year, maybe win the Champions League and really be a real force in the Premier League for the next few years. I don't think any rival fan is thinking that. And that doesn't mean that that can't happen, but you are meant to strike fear into your opposition. And I think we've opened the door. This is reminding me a lot of Mourinho's last summer, where he needed ambition and he got shackles. And it opened the door. We'd finished second. He wanted to go for first. And we ended up opening the door for everyone else to go past us. And I feel that a lot of clubs will look at United and go, they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable. They'll be inspired by what we're doing. In isolation, thank you very much, United. I was upbeat about Santos throughout, though Sunrise's Army says, I was upbeat about Santos because I thought Chiellini would follow. Either go for Bruno G now or sign marquee players in other positions and cheap midfielder. Genuinely, Mark, how do you think Santos is an overpay but Scott is worth 80? You clearly haven't followed his career or even watched him play. Five star, look, I appreciate the super chat, but I find it quite offensive because I think not it's not offensive to me. I think it's offensive to you because you expose yourself as being quite uneducated. And I've seen a few people doing this. Santos plays in the Premier League. He's actually played against Man United. So factually, most Man United fans will have seen Santos play at least once. I also do That's Football, and I know a lot of people here watch That's Football, where we do a lot of Chelsea games. He's not played in the Portuguese league, where it would be very understandable that people may not have watched him. He plays in the Premier League, mate. When people say you've clearly not watched Santos play, but there's evidence of me watching him play. There's watch-alongs. All right, I might have been talking about my favourite packet of crisps, but I'm literally sat watching him. And I find it offensive when the argument is, he's a great player, you've clearly not watched him play. We clearly have watched him play. He plays in the bloody Premier League. He's an underwhelming signing to some of us, and he's an exciting signing to you. Well done. I'm not disrespecting your analysis, but don't try and sweep ours under the carpet by saying that we haven't seen him play. And comparing him to Alex Scott is laughable. It's laughable. And, you know, the big thing for me is Chelsea actually want to sign Alex Scott. So Chelsea clearly know who's better as well. Santos is potential. He is not in the same category as Wharton, Scott, Fernandez, or Tonali or any other player. And that's why there's no queue for him, mate. And that's why there's a queue for Scott and there's a queue for Fernandez. And there's a queue for Wharton. There's no queue for Santos. We've overpaid for a player that costs £12 million, who's sat on Chelsea's bench and has potential. He's not a £50 million player. We've overpaid. Whether you like the deal or not, we've overpaid. We've overpaid on Edison as well. 1 year left on his contract at 27 in the Italian league, 40 million quid. We've overpaid there as well. Champions League for next year is out the window, says Kieran. I hope not. The one thing we have to do this season, and I'll be there every week counting the points. We've got to get to 65 points this season. That will guarantee top five. We've got to get top five this season. I can't do a year out of Europe again. Actually, 60 points will get us into Europa League. I'd even take that. I just don't need another year like last year. You know who he is? Say his name, says Keel. I'm not saying it. I'm not saying belabor. I've done it. Enmeacher or Scott is my last hope. I would be very happy with Enmeacher, Rich. I'd be very happy with Enmeacher. I actually think a lot of people don't like him. I think he would be... I think Enmeacher is the player some of you think Santos is. I think Enmeacher is the hidden gem for this window. In fact, I know that Real Madrid really like him. And at one point, they were thinking about Chiellini leaving and Enmeacher coming in. He is the hidden gem of the window. If United can do something with him, that would be very interesting. The problem is, and I'll talk about it right now. I've still got a few super chats, but we've got time. Amazing news last night. Dortmund and Barcelona in talks, not for Enmeacher, for Adeyemi. Now, I'm a big fan of Adeyemi. And I feel like Erling Haaland at the moment because I can't stop scoring. I said Arsenal would win the league before a ball was kicked. They did. I said England will win the World Cup. Well, we'll see what happens there. I predicted Brazil would be a flop in the World Cup and get knocked out by Norway in the last 16, and they did. I told you Chiellini. Well, I was told that. I can't claim that. And I also have been saying for a long time, I think Adeyemi at Dortmund could be like what Liverpool did with Salah when they took him from Roma. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Salah, but there's something in Adeyemi that if you took him to the right environment and calmed him down, I think there's an incredible player there. And Barcelona have gone and done it. But the bad news there is that that's it. I really did think that Rashford would get his dream move to Barcelona later on in the window. And the chances of that now are absolutely zero, I think. So they've bought Anthony Gordon and they're buying Adeyemi. So there's just no pathway for Rashford now. And I think it's starting to make sense, this whole Rashford's warming to coming back to Man United and United are warming to bringing Rashford back. Look, we all know the truth. Rashford left for a new challenge because he had his issues with United, and United wanted him out because they had their issues and they wanted to get his wage bill off, right? We're about to make friends in a scenario where neither were friends for good reasons. Why? Well, maybe Carrick wants to bring him back. I don't know. But the reality is nobody wants Rashford. There, you know, you can dislike him coming back. You can like him coming back. But if Barcelona had wanted him, he'd have signed and we would have sold. There was no way we wanted him back and there was no way he wanted to come back. The reality is he's coming back because nobody else wants him. So we've got to make the best of that situation. United do not want Rashford back. The wages make a mockery of what we're trying to do, and he probably isn't worth 300 grand a week. I don't think Rashford really wants to come back because I don't think he, you know, likes the way it ended at United, and there'll be a lot of pressure around him. But what are you supposed to do in that situation? Like, nobody wants him, and he's a Man United player for the next 2 years. This is a mess. It's a mess that's not as big as the midfield mess, to be honest with you. But, you know, a year ago, United were putting the stupid... And to this day, I still don't get it. The bomb squad thing never made any sense to me because it was almost like self-gratification about clearing out Deadwood. But when you analysed it, Sancho went on loan. Malacia still stayed. Rashford went on loan. I mean, it wasn't really a massive clear out, but even more embarrassing is they sort of PR'd themselves as, oh, we're so ruthless. And Rashford's coming back a year later. So I think it's embarrassing for Manchester United. I think they look like right mugs, to be honest, because they acted like Billy Big Bollocks, like, oh, look at how good we are. And he's coming back. And he's coming back on 300 grand a week. I think it's more than 300 grand a week because of the Champions League. Somebody was saying to me it's 325 grand a week. So Rashford's coming back on 325 grand a week. And from a financial point of view, that's shocking. That's like, you know, that's moving towards £1.5 million a month in wages. Across a year, what's that? Over £15 million a year in wages. So this is bad news for Manchester United. But I also think it's bad news for Rashford. I don't know how this is going to work out because, you know, his shirt number's gone. To pick him, you've got to drop Cunha and Dorgu. The focus will be massive. Look, it's like a new signing, isn't it? It's like a new signing. The way I approach it is, like Santos, I hope it works out. But it's certainly a risk, and it's certainly not what everybody wanted in relation to the player and the club. But it just exemplifies the mess that United is. They try and do something, and a year later, the problem comes back. So, yeah. What about Somerville? Well, I don't see how Somerville even happens. Somerville can only happen if Rashford leaves. So I would expect West Ham have already... It's a great point, Sizzler. So Somerville, West Ham have already said that Somerville is leaving. Like, he won't play in the Championship. So Somerville will leave West Ham. If Somerville can wait till the end of August and somebody comes in for Rashford, then we could still do that deal. But if somebody goes in for Somerville more aggressive than us and he doesn't want to wait till the end of August because he wants to start the season playing football, then we won't get him. So, I don't want to blame Rashford. It's not Rashford's fault. Man United's inability to deal with the Rashford situation quickly will make us miss out on signing a winger. And we probably won't sign a winger at all. So, look, I thought Somerville was quite underwhelming. But it's better than not signing anybody, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry, I just had a super chat from Jason. I'm just going to read this because I don't agree with it. Jason said, why, Mark, Jason, sorry, let me read this. Why be negative with everything you say? At least give Santos a chance. He hasn't even kicked a ball yet. Jason, I'm reading the news, Al, and I'm giving my opinion, and we've done it for 10 years. I appreciate the comment, but what do you want me to do, lie? I thought we were chasing authenticity. I think the club is a mess. I don't agree with the new stadium. We've not won a league for 13 years. I think the standards are in the mud. We're in massive debt. We're buying underwhelming players. I can't lie to you, Jason. If you're excited, fine. And you're not the only one. But I can't not be sincere. I have to be authentic. I can't lie to you, Jason, because then when it all goes wrong, people will say, well, you were cheerleading this. I have to be authentic. You have to be authentic. You ask me why I'm being negative. I'm being realistic. I think this is massively underwhelming. But what I have said, Jason, and I won't have this, is I haven't said Santos is fucking shit and I hope he flops. What I've said is it's not his fault. It's really underwhelming. I hope it works out. So don't put words into my mouth. I literally did say that. I hope it works out for him, but I think it's a massively underwhelming signing. Ami says, Edison's injury says, and thank you, Jason, for the comment. I'm more than happy to answer it. Edison's injury history says, meniscus injury, out for 30 days. It's the same injury that kept Malacia out. Looks suspicious. I've done all those, haven't I? I just want to make sure that I've caught up. Lovely stuff. I have done them. Great stuff there. Barcelona are massively changing their attackers, says Robert McCormack. Look, I know people won't... I mean, Jason might disagree with me on this one, you know, but look, ultimately, one person's negativity is another person's positivity. Maybe Jason disagrees with what I'm about to say here because it's quite positive. I feel sorry for Rashford. I think what he did at Barcelona, he should have got a new contract. He should have got a deal because, all right, he wasn't Yamal, he wasn't Rafinha, but they were looking for somebody who could, you know, come in and do a job if Rafinha and Yamal needed to be subbed or rested or injured. And he did that. He didn't flop at Barcelona. He did a pretty decent job as a rotational forward for them. And they decided to go, no. And I don't really understand why, because I don't think Anthony Gordon or Adeyemi are necessarily obviously better. I would imagine they're financially more viable. I would imagine their wages are less, and because they're younger, the transfer fee is more palatable. So I do think Rashford's unlucky. I think his wage and age makes him a less attractive option to Adeyemi and Gordon, who are younger and will be on cheaper wages, even though their transfer fee will be more. You can do more with a transfer fee. You know, you can spread that transfer fee out over a number of years, whereas a wage, you have to pay it every week. And an age, maybe Rashford's got 2 years left at the top with, you know, his pace will go. And when Rashford's pace goes, what will he be? So maybe they've looked at it like that. But I think it's harsh on Rashford. I don't think he could do anything more. He can't do anything about the wage that United pay him, and he can't do anything about his age anymore, can he? So I think he's unlucky. Do you think Barca not biting on Rashford deal has altered some of the transfer plans? It's a big, big wage they thought they were losing when Casemiro was leaving. Oh, Patrick, 100%. You're talking about 15 million a year that they've got to pay now on a player they thought was going. Yeah, and you know what? It also shows how weak the football club is, that a player they want to go, they're going to have to incorporate back into the team. What big club would do that? Would Real Madrid bring a player back that they don't really want anymore and pick them because it's the only choice they've got? Thank you, Jer. Thank you, Patrick. So Jim rubs off as the type of dude that dates his friend's exes, says she loves cowgirls. Carrick will be out and the table is set for Southgate as an interim. This is what happens with this plan. Glinios should be ashamed, says Numi. Something that doesn't get talked about enough is the psychology of transfers. This Santos deal is Levy 101. He may turn into a world beater, but it doesn't inspire players and fans. Santos' stats are based on a few games he played, so comparing stats is wrong. He's a £20 million player. This is a great point by Kyrox. You know, you should never use the stats of a bench player because predominantly they will play easier games or come on in games when, you know, the situation is different. And in fairness, Santos is predominantly a bench player for Chelsea. So those stats could be skewed compared to somebody who's starting week in, week out. Forgotten about Joe Bellingham. He'd be a typical Ineos signing. Oof, Oliver, there's an... I feel like Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's a name I've not heard in a long time. And look, you know, who knows? Nick P says, I'm not as positive as you, Mark. I can't keep lowering the bar for what rescues this window. Damien Darwin says, could the marquee signing be Rodgers as no centre midfielder? Rodgers would make no sense, mate. Not with Rashford saying. Would make no sense. João Gomes is much better than Baleba. Also, I mean, we could still go for João Gomes. Imagine if our window was João Gomes, Santos and Ederson. We'd basically have three BTEC Casemiros and Bruno Gs. Do you think it's possible we get Estevao for the wing? No, I do not. Stadium, that was from Dalen. Stadium boring, not even like it's 150, 200k seater. I've heard we're getting Tonali's brother, Toenail, says Artar. I can't believe that I allowed myself to be optimistic. Mate, Slazy, you and me both. A month ago, I was sat here telling you I've got this feeling about optimism. I'm feeling positive. Literally did the same. I remember doing it. We just signed a surprise midfielder, says Nick P. João Gomes is a defensive monster and his transfer to Atletico has collapsed. He would be miles better than Ederson and gettable from Wolves. Yeah. But that, you know what, United way? That would be a problem. If we pull out of Ederson to get João Gomes, we've still got João Gomes and Santos. That's a problem. You should pull out of Ederson, keep Santos there and buy two decent midfielders. Getting João Gomes instead of Ederson still presents the problem of we've got Santos and João Gomes. Like, that's not good enough for me. It's okay to like Santos the player, but seriously, the question overall, you've got to question the overall strategy, says Sam. That's where I'm at. Absolutely. Arsenal, Rice, Bruno G, PSG, Vitinha, João Neves, United, Mainu, Bouadi, says Anthony. I think he's dreaming. United Way says, Mark, talk more about Stiller. Club listens to the show. Why aren't we going for him with his price? I think you should talk more about him. You said he would transform us. Don't want him to end up at Bayern. Look, if they do listen, or the algorithm listens and the data listens, Angelo Stiller, Manchester United. Sign Angelo Stiller. He would be a brilliant signing for Manchester United. He will be a player that goes somewhere else and becomes a really top midfielder. Manchester United needs to sign Angelo Stiller. That might hit the algorithm. Why would we need a marquee signing? We're spending £2 billion. I've done that one from Emily. Okay, I've overrun a little bit, but great show this morning. We have got Ben and Beth at 2:15, the B&B show. I will be watching that with great interest. Now, I know some of you are getting very, very frustrated, but I'm looking forward to that. 8 o'clock show tonight. Do you know anything, being as you knew about Tchouaméni? I was very, very, very confident about the Tchouaméni source because it was nothing to do with United. It was from the other side. I haven't got anything else at the moment. And sometimes having that bit of information once a summer is enough because I don't want us to be about that. I don't want to go live going, we're hearing this, we're hearing that. That's, you know, I'd rather get good information than, you know, unlike some people have had really bad information and made themselves look like chances this summer. So I don't want that. All I would say is I still think Manu Koné is one to keep an eye on. And I've said that for a couple of weeks. But beyond that, I don't know anything now. So I'm a bit like Jason Wilcox now. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. And I'll speak to you on the next one. Did we hit 3,000 likes? Are we doing a morning show? We've only got 2,000 likes. If you didn't watch live, leave a like. 3,000 likes. We're doing a morning show outside tomorrow morning. Come on, smash it. I'll speak to you in a bit.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday.
Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.